He was born. The first statement is that there's no, that as far as it's concerned, although God and Allah are not the same thing anyway, that the God doesn't have any son. Do you get my point? It's like you, I mean, I start arguing with somebody that, how do I say it? A man who doesn't, has never married, doesn't have children, and I say, this guy is your son. Do you understand? You're not on the same frequency at all. These are spiritual matters. You don't argue with people that are not thinking like you. I find that a lot of times I get angry with people, but this I don't argue with anymore. When you are junior to me, I will insult you and kick you out of my office. I do it to my students a lot. You come to my office and say that Nigeria cannot. One body did to me one day. I said, get up and get out. So Nigeria cannot have uninterrupted power supply. I said, why not? He said, because minimum wage is 7,500 naira. He came to ask me for a favor. That was, you know, you don't know that there are some areas you don't touch. If you tell me, Pastor Banky, your father, I'll say he died 8 years ago. That's what I'm going to tell you. I know go vex so. But if you tell me, say, Nigeria can never have a functioning rail system, just thank God this is not America. Because I would have had a gun, I would have shot it in the leg. There are things you don't say near me. There are things you don't say. They touch me very, very badly. You know, some things they vex person. These are things we are praying about every day. You now open, you now say, oh ho. In fact, it's now I understand why prophets, they kill person. No? Old Testament, those prophets could kill. Say, thus says the Lord, by this time tomorrow, one bag of rice shall go for 600 naira. In the main market in Enugu. And one bucket of tomatoes shall be sold only for 50 naira. And that will be in Holy Ghost market. Do you understand? A new market. And then a man looked and said, ha! Pastor, how shall these things be? Even if God were to open the windows of heaven that is raining tomatoes and rice, human beings go even grease seller at that price. God didn't say kill him. The prophet was provoked. He just said, eh. You will see it. But the only thing is that you will not eat of it. If man of God, they talk, be careful. Don't challenge. Do you get my point? Don't challenge. If you don't know, just do like Mary. How shall this thing be seen that I know no man? Just, you know, like me, say, I don't know, you know, like they say, I don't know Buko. That's all you just say. You know what will happen? Prophet, I don't know Buko. The guy I like, people like, is it Ezekiel? Son of man, shall these bones live? I know they're there. That's all. Is that you that asked the question? I'm sure you know the answer. That's what Ezekiel said. Thou knowest, Lord. Because the man said, this bone, in his mind, this bones ain't living. That's what he was saying in his heart. How can these bones live? But on the surface, Lord, you know now. that is how the prophet used to kill. That's how they killed that guy. Elisha was so angry. Say, so you will see it, you will eat. That means if you open mouth in an area that I pray against, I pray about, believing God for, you're my personal enemy. If you're a Christian, I won't talk to you again. I won't just tell you, I just take you like you don't know anything, that your head doesn't work. That's my attitude. So that's what I'm just trying to say. Listen, don't argue with anybody. Don't get into a fight. Don't get into a fight with a man who's already possessed with the spirit. You know what I'm trying to say? When he's talking, just say, no, Jesus is the only salvation we need in this world. All of us are sinners. The soul that sinned, he shall die. No matter how angry he is, he will die if he's a soul that sinned. Are you a soul that sinned? Don't argue on what is happening, whether Nigeria is a zoo or Nigeria is an ocean. Don't argue. Don't argue. Just say, whether you're in a zoo or you're inside a lagoon, wherever you are, if you die in your sins, you will still go to hellfire. Every man will maintain after that. Say, are you serious? Yes, read this tract. So that Senate, that's who's going to hell. And the guy will read it. They want to give your life to Christ. That's when you start arguing with people. That's when the fellow has given his life to Christ. He's beginning to learn the word of God. Until that point, I beg.
Leave the fellow alone. Do you get my point? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So that's it. That's for that. I said I had two things in mind for us today. This second one, we'll do. Okay, let's say we'll continue that next time, but let's just introduce it. Remember, this is what we have been teaching on Saturdays now about the spread of the kingdom of God, and I just want us to take that as our prayer point for today. We read from the book of Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus said something to us that you are the light, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And what we are supposed to do as salt of the earth and light of the world, the primary assignment as salt, let's start with the salt thing, is not to go out and try to do anything. The primary assignment for salt is to ensure that it remains salty. That's verse 13. It said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. It says, you are the light of the world. And we talked about that salt matter. That salt is used for two purposes. Number one is for preservation of, number one is to fertilize good in the land, and that is to ensure that good grows, to ensure that good progresses. Then number two is to prevent evil from spreading. That is what salt does. But our emphasis is not just on what salt does, but on how it does it. How does it do it? It's not by any conscious thing on the part of salt, but that salt just remains itself. Salt needs only two things to be able to have its effect. Number one is to be present. Number two is to remain itself. That's what the Bible says. It does not need to preach. Now, let me just emphasize that again. There's a part of preaching, but it does not need, that is not what makes it salt. It is that it is present and it has retained its saltness. What we are saying is that as children of God, how we affect our society first and foremost is to ensure that we are there, and number two, we do not conform to the world, because conformity to the world is how we lose our saltness. That's very important for us to bear in mind. So if you're in the midst, okay, look at what we've been talking about. People are buying, a man is trying to pour forth, now listen to this, what I want to say is very, very important. He's trying to pour forth anger and animosity and division into the hearts of the common person on the road. But God says it will not work as long as my people don't buy it. Do you understand my point? Yes. The last gist I heard has even tried to put into church matters, trying to divide church based on tribal sentiment. God said that is where the danger is, all right? Because the effect of salt is as long as the people remain salty. It's just, I told you David Paulson said that their own studies is that if you have 5% of committed Christians in an area, all right, evil cannot continue to spread there. They tend to be a restraining force concerning evil in that place by just being 5 out of 100. It doesn't mean that going around fighting people. It's a spiritual principle. They're from their heart, from their spirit, something is radiating out and it's affecting things in the environment. These things are carried by evil forces. And so if they come into an area and what is coming out for the people there, there's a strong, positive, divine energy. Those negative evil forces are, you know, they are repelled. They are pushed away from there. So, but what they, when they get the advantage, if it's not, is when the people there are not emitting that kind of attitude. So if we do not buy into the wrong thought processes, if we do not buy into the wrong attitudes, if we do not buy into the evil spirit, okay, that the man is trying to sell to us, then the other people around you, they are safe. That's just the way it is. These things, everybody is fighting for a critical mass. Let me use that expression. In fact, even in bacteriology, for those of you who know some bacteriology, you know what they call quorum sensing. Anybody doing bacteriology here? Should know now. And it's what they call quorum sensing, in which bacteria, they need to be present in an adequate amount. And when they are present in an adequate amount, that is when they cannot begin to cause an infection. There's a terminology for those of you who do bacteriology. It's called quorum sensing, all right? So everybody's looking for a critical mass. That's the point I'm making. Everybody's looking for a critical mass. The spirit of God is also looking for a critical mass. The evil spirit is also looking for a critical mass to be able to spread its evil. What is our duty? just ensure that you do not contribute to the critical mass of the negative side. Make sure that you are always contributing to the critical mass of God, that is being a salt. That is what is most important. Let me just say it again. That's why if you are going into business, listen, money is not the most important thing in life. Righteousness is more important. Like we're talking on radio today, Israel and I and Okemute, we're just recording for radio, that's our radio broadcast. One of the things that I preach on prosperity of the soul, one of the things that we explained there is that the Bible says that a poor man that walks in his integrity is better than a rich man that has plenty of money. That's scripture. That is, are you talking about wealth? The prosperity of the soul, we said, is that you walk in integrity. If you are walking in integrity, God says you are richer than the man who has a lot of money, but he does not have integrity. And when God says something is better, it literally means it is better. That is, the man that has integrity will do better in life overall. His children will do better in life. They will attain more. He will achieve more in life than the fellow who has a lot of money does not have integrity. What am I trying to explain? So when you go out, I said Christians, when we are doing business, what we are looking for is, number one, a good name. Number two, we want to establish righteousness. We are not there, first of all, to make money. For us, money is all other things shall be added unto you. It is not, first of all, about what we get. It is what. How are we serving people? Don't ever do a business where you go home, you don't have a sense in which I have served somebody. If all you have is a sense of I have made money, you have lost. If you don't have a sense of I have saved somebody, no matter how much money you are making, shut it down. You are working against the will of God. You must have this sense that I have saved somebody. I have saved people. When I go out every day, I am bringing forth service into the lives of people. That is a primary thing. After that, now talk about whether this is sustainable. Are they paying properly? Am I working well? All right. That's how it is with Christians. And when we have the right thoughts, we have the right spirit, then what we are doing is that we are remaining salt of the earth. And I'm saying this, that will automatically, without you trying to do anything, once we attain a critical mass, we automatically begin to cause positive changes in the environment. That is the point I'm making. Automatic. It's not about whether you go there and go and shout, no, we no go agree. It's not like that. It's just that you enter police, you're a Christian, and you make your pledge that, listen, you know, as long as I am here, I will not do things the way everybody else is doing them. You go into business, as long as I'm here, I will not do things the way everybody is doing them. Once you do it like that, you automatically affect that environment. Where the devil wins, where we lose that as the body of Christ, is when people now say, because of pressure. This business, you know, my mates who started before me, who started after me, the same time I started, and the man completed his bungalow. Yeah, I'm still living in two rooms. And we are doing the same thing. And I say, how is he doing it? Ah, and I say, oh boy, when you are selling 10 liters, you can't sell 10 liters. So. You have to turn it to like 9.1. They no go no. Once you see that one, just give him one scripture. That the Bible says an unjust weight, an unjust measure, is an abomination to God. So I will never use abomination to make money in life. My life is not about money. It's about righteousness. The kingdom of God is not about money, dollar or pounds. It is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What he said is, you know, eating and drinking. I'm just trying to modify it so as to bring out the sense, the spirit in what he's saying there. Tell the fellow, oh, that's how you've been doing it. Sorry. You won't make money. This one I'm making is called more money, integrity. Yes, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. What am I trying to emphasize? We just need to retain our saltness. All right? Now, having explained, just to revise that again, let me just remind us again. In life, you cannot use your own energy to contend and win in this life. It's by the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? It is God that makes you able to stand. Many people who yap, other people who have taken bribes and given bribes, when you reach there, you will do more than that too. Unless you understand the technique. There is a technique. There is a method by which we stand in life and we do not fall for temptations. And that's what this prayer, short prayer, is about. We'll continue next time. There is a technique. What is that technique? It's simple. First and foremost, it's what you agree with. I began to teach on that last Saturday. is what you agree with. If you don't agree with something, now, this is not about doing. Let me just first start with that. People want to start from the point of doing. When they have succeeded in doing, they will now agree. That is a problem they have in the Western countries now, like which United States has made itself a champion, and Barack Obama has made itself a one that sold his power and the authority to the beast. All right? That's what he's doing. Okay, that's what Barack Obama is doing. You know that. Now, they say that a man says, I have feeling, you know. What's my name? Adam. What's my feeling? I don't like Eve. I like Steve. And that's how I feel. As I feel it, it must be right. So somebody says, let us ensure that you love Eve, not Steve. Say, okay, let us try. Now, he goes to therapy for a year or two. Then the feeling for Steve returns rather than Eve. So he writes a book and comes to the conclusion that you are fighting what is natural. But like I keep on saying, it's natural does not mean it is right. Are you getting my point? Yeah, natural doesn't mean it is right. Okay? That is why we have lights hanging all over this place. It's natural for them to fall down. So what we do is we screw them up there. Is that not true? Yes. Or you want these fans to do the natural thing on top of your head? Of course you don't want the fans to do nothing natural. So behind, under that ceiling, they've been screwed tight so that you won't do that which is what? Natural. It's natural doesn't mean it is right. Say, I was born like that, so? If you come to UNTH, all right, they're always doing open heart surgery now, very regularly, fixing things that people were born with. You won't say, oh, our pilot was born blind, so let him fly. You will go for the next plane and say, that pilot, we don't want to discriminate. He was born blind, but he has to fly, otherwise we'll be discriminating. Something can be natural. Somebody can be born with something, yet it's not right. For that reason, doctors spend time every day, all right, trying to find a cure for some disorders that we know are genetic. We say, okay, this gene is wrong. So we call it what? A genetic mutation. Even though we met it like that, it was here before all the doctors on this earth currently were born. Yet they say it's a genetic what? Mutation. They don't say because it is natural, it has to be right. In the same manner, some people have spiritual mutation in their heads so that instead of being attracted towards a woman, they're attracted towards a man. Now, my story is about what we agree with. Now, when people agree, that's what I'm saying, with what is wrong, they lose the power to do what is right. That's the issue. If you agree with what is wrong, you lose the power to do what is right. So the first place is what you agree with. Conformity is not just in behavior. It is first of all in the thought process. If you say something, I quoted something the other day, that you are really blind when you cannot see anything wrong with what God calls a sin. But the point is this, don't start with how you feel. Just once God has said something, maintain what God has said as your opinion, even if you don't feel like it. Let me just say, I feel in this matter. And now say what you feel. Just vomit your ignorance, your disobedience, your disagreeing with God. No. So what do you think of this matter? Say, let me go and check how I think. I don't know what I get my point. Say, Pastor Frank, what do you think of this issue? I'm not thinking yet. Why? I've not seen what the scriptures say about it. What do you think of this matter? It doesn't matter. Why do I need to think? God has done all the thinking for me. Open the scriptures. So what do you think? Which one is more important? Is somebody let me just tell you, something really happened. One day somebody said, what if the morning of your wedding, you get a phone call that you should come for a contract of 300 million naira? That was what they said, that the 300 million. Somebody even says dollar. Let's even say it's 1 billion naira. It's the morning of your wedding. Your bride is dressing up. You were wearing a suit when the call came. And you have to be there that day. You are in Enugu, it's in Abuja. If you're not there, the job goes to somebody else. Come and ask the argument. That is the argument I want to tell you about. That day, Inka was just getting angry. Because Inka was in the chat group. I was just there watching. I don't know whether I commented that day. Some people say, let's just say 1 billion. 1 billion naira is a lot of money. He said, my brother,
The only person you owe an explanation to is your wife. Oh. You just call her, explain, baby, after now, we are made. That your wife, see the talk. Oh. I said, my God, these are the kind of people I'm having to deal with. So Yinka was saying something. Yinka was just getting angry that day. Now, what is wrong with these people? Now, this is what I'm talking about. A lot of people, how do they reason? Say, man, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Just by the way, that's an unbelieving talk. What did I say? Opportunity comes but once. It's not the gospel for the people who are blessed. It's only when you are not blessed, you believe the opportunity comes but once. And listen to me, everything in life is a test. It's saying something about you. You can get that 1 billion, but God says this boy is unreliable. They can buy him anytime. Everything makes a statement. You say only your wife, it matters. Her father does not matter. Her mother does not matter. The guests, I that traveled all the way from Onitsha or Oka to come to Enugu to come and join you, I don't matter. Why? You worship money. That is all. That day, the point I make is that people were talking. I said, my own is that. How do I reason? Simple. Just go and read the scriptures. Say, blessed is the poor man, better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than the rich man that has a lot of money. That has solved it. That this is a matter, forget money, let's talk about integrity first. The priest is waiting. The bishop is waiting. I have made an agreement. He said, the man who wants to approach the throne of God is one that swears to his heart and does not change. I've told my potential father-in-law I'll be there in the morning. Told the reverend father or the bishop, whoever it is, I will be there in the morning. Then you now use 1 billion. It's called bow to me and I will give you the kingdoms of this world. I've told you, many people say that I'm not in a coven. They are serving Satan. They just don't know. It's called bow to me. What am I saying? My opinion is not what I think. It's what the scriptures say. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Is that faithfulness? I consider all of these things. This is how I say. This is how I look at things. I decide that thing is a temptation of the devil and temptations are meant to be resisted. Are you getting my point? So it's no longer about money now. It's about what? Temptation. It's about righteousness. It's about sin. You know, if you paint things the correct color, you know what it is. You know the way they give children empty thing, paint. If you paint the right color, you know whether it's a devil or it's an angel. Just paint the right color. Any man who says, I have only 12 hours to make a decision on the morning of my wedding, I will tell him I need 13 hours. Listen, let me just say, that's how life is. That's when God makes up his mind. Who's going somewhere or who's not going somewhere. That's what people don't realize. I say, no. If you're laughing the argument, I do. Fight. And that is the point. This is the interesting part. This was even a hypothetical situation, though. I don't know what I get the point. Nothing like that was. And men were already fighting. The money was not. And this is another thing. People couldn't even look closely enough to realize it's a contract. It's not dash. We don't even know how much money you will make from it. See argument. Why? Because men worship money. What am I trying to explain? Back to my main message. That situation has not yet occurred. We're just talking to the law and to the testimony. It's what we agree with. That's what I'm trying to explain. Don't ever, ever let your opinion be formed by people of the world. Make sure that all the time your opinion is formed by God. Not how you feel. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Larry Buckets came, he says, one brother came to ask him for advice. He said, what do you think? He said, what I think? I think you should sue him. I think you should carry the banda to police. I think you should ensure that they sell everything he has so as to pay you back. I think, by the time I finish everything, the man said, thank you. He said, that's what I think. Let me now tell you what the Bible says. The man looked like, he said, yes, what I've told you is what I would like to do. That man deserves to go to jail. That man deserves to have all his property seized and liquidated so as to pay you. He deserves it.
But let us see what God said we should do. That guy was weak. The man began to open scriptures. By the time he finished, he told him, forget the man. Don't ask him again.
Ha! Sir, do you know how much money we are talking about?
The man, I've told you what I think. I've told you what God thinks. Go home and choose the one you want to follow. What am I trying to say? If we want to obey God, we must agree with what he thinks. We don't start with how we behave. We agree with how he thinks. If we are going to be salt, it has to be first of all with how we think. I was saying that. Then also, we control how we think by what we see. You see, I thought it's what you see first. Hey, what you think first before what you see. Depends on what you are looking at. If what you are saying is based on how you feel, yes, it's how you think that controls what you say. But if how you feel is in disagreement with what God says, this is how you control how you think and how you feel. You take, because that's one thing that God gives you that obeys you even when you don't agree with it. What I mean is this. If I tell everybody, stand up, say after me, I am a woman. You know, everybody here will say, I'm a woman. Say, is he saying all of us should say, I'm a woman? I don't know what I got to say. Have you noticed it before? I will not have to say, please, I'm men, I'm not talking to you. Your mouth can drive any direction. You know why it's like that? Because God says that is what you use to control the rest of your body. So it can be used even though the rest of your body do not agree. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, that's it. That's one thing that can say anything you decide, even if you don't feel like it. So you see, you can use your mouth, and James talks about it like that. I don't want to go start opening scriptures now. That the mouth controls the whole of the body. David talked about my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. That my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. All right? There's something about it. When you talk about being like a pen, that means the mouth writes. That's what I'm trying to say. So when God says, inscribe this thing upon your heart, how do you do it? Use your tongue to write it upon your heart. That's one thing that controls how you think. What am I trying to say? How we obey God is not by we determine and then our body just obeys. No. We go for how, first we must agree with God in how we think. We must refuse to conform with the world in how we think. And one major way by which we can ensure that we think according to God is that which we have heard. We put them on our lips. And that was why he said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He said, you will meditate therein day and night. He said, that's how you'll be careful to do all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. What was he saying there? He was saying that it is what you... Now, the word meditate, you know, I keep on trying to explain to those who do not know anyway. Here, we repeat all the time. For those who don't know, meditate does not mean to think. In the Hebrew, meditate means to mutter. It's the mutterings, you know. That's soliloquy. When you are talking to yourself, the things that you say is what the Bible calls meditation. All right? That's the meditation. That's meditation. Things that come out of your mouth. And that's what Joshua was saying. You meditate. You talk in that word all the time. And then you control yourself because you have told your tongue what to say. Just quickly say the word of God. Say, I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Say, according to the word of the Lord Jesus, I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth and I will not lose my saltness. I will not lose my saltness. I will not compromise with the world. I will not think the way they think. I will not behave the way they behave. Say, my thoughts, my character, my behavior, every one of these things, they are controlled by the word of God. I am not moved by what I see. I am moved by the word of God. He says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I walk righteously. Say, therefore, I walk righteously. Say, my body belongs to him and is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I use it according to that. Say, therefore, I hold it in purity. Therefore, I hold it in sanctification. Not in the lustful ways of the world, but according to the sanctification of Christ. Because my body belongs to him. Say, in my life, integrity is more important than money. These are the things we cause ourselves to think when we say them. Say it again. For me,
integrity,
even in the midst of poverty, is more important than money. I would rather be poor and have my integrity than be rich and be without it. Because God says the former is better. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is what God says. It's not how we feel. It's what God says. Listen, you do business. When you are done with the business, let me tell you how to assess whether that business was good or was bad. Say, what was my score on integrity and faithfulness? You know, what we do in business is, how much did I put in? How much did I take out? That is what's primary most of the time for us. But that must never be the thing for Christians. My mom said, okay, this business that I did now, it's been on for 2-3 months. Finally, we are done with it. Every time I spoke, did I say the truth? When I told the man, this thing will land here at 30,000 naira, are you sure it was 30,000 or it was 20? I just wanted to make some money. Are you getting my point? You want to say, okay, well, did I tell the truth? That is what decided whether you gained or you lost. It is not about how much money you made. For us believers in Christ Jesus, that is our own score sheet. Do you get what I'm saying? That is a scorecard. It is our profit and loss book is not naira and kobo. It is truth, lie, faithful, unfaithful, integrity, no integrity, double-mouthedness or single-mouthedness, focus, lack of focus. Did I help somebody or I help myself? When you totally, did you make money? You look and say, man, this business was bad. So your wife say, what happened? Say, man, your husband don't begin lie. Say, which kind of lie you tell? What did that lie net you? So that one made me like 2 million. But that is 2 million we will not spend in this house. What do we do? We either go and give it back. If it's one we can give back. If we can't give it back. You know, there are things we can't give back. You know, like you stole money from, you're dealing the business with government. Who you want to give the money back to now? Maybe the admission don't even go. So no wahala. We share the money into 5 portions. Motherless baby, fatherless baby, brotherless baby, uncleless baby. You all share to all the homes. Say, I'm not eating. I'm not the chop. Say, Lord, I'm very sorry. I won't do it again. No, when you do that 2 times, nobody will tell you to tell the truth. You just realize that, man, this line does not pay. It doesn't pay. It does not pay. But last time we did it, all the money went to all the something less babies. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? All right, so that's how we as Christians, that's how we, you know, we assess ourselves, all right? Now, let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Better is the poor man with his integrity,
than the rich man without integrity.
I choose to have integrity. Say it again. I choose to have integrity.
I refuse to conform to the world.
I choose to have integrity.
Now, say this. Say, I will never
disgrace the name of the Lord Jesus.
I will always carry that name
as a banner before me.
What I mean is that it's a standard by which we are walking. That is, I just want to make sure that my life truly reflects, you understand?
Like we've been saying these Saturdays, that you cannot preach a gospel that your life does not preach. You can't use your mouth to say what your life is not saying, all right? These are the things we as Christians must always. We say this to ourselves all the time. It doesn't matter how we feel. All right?
Now, say they say, though the young lions lack
and suffer hunger,
I will seek the Lord
and I will not lack anything good.
I will fear God in everything that I do.
I will fear God in everything that I do.
Knowing that He's always watching me
and He's the one that's my judge.
Let me just say something to you. Everything in life, I said earlier, is a test. God is using to decide that, is this boy going forward? Is this girl going forward? He's not using this one. It's not that thing. Are you getting my point? It's not that thing. Everything you are doing is a test. And listen, in your life, everything you are doing right now is what?
A test.
God is qualifying you. God is qualifying you. There's something up ahead he wants to take you into. He just saying, now prove that I should put you there. Prove that I should put you there. And so what we are using our mouth to do is to ensure that we qualify ourselves. Listen, anything you don't feel like doing, write it down and declare it loudly. Once you know it's the word of God. And now many of you here are not married, but I want you to join those of us who are married and declare this. So it will be sweet, all right? If I say only those who are married, the thing will be too few. You just hear one or two mouths. All right, everyone who's married and those who are hoping to marry one day, just join and declare. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Just the men alone, please. Just the men alone. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I love my wife.
I love my wife.
As Christ loves the church.
As Christ loves the church.
I am patient.
I am patient.
I am loving.
I am loving.
I am kind towards my wife.
I am kind towards my wife.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of
say
Jesus.
It again. Say, I am patient.
I am patient.
Now, I've been married to be 16 years. I just wanted to read 16 so I can be seeing 16 years. It's actually 15 years, all right? Anyway, I know that one of the greatest shortcomings of those of us who are husbands is patience. All right? It's patience. Okay? We want God to be patient with us, but we are not as patient with those that God said, So declare, say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus.
Love is kind.
Love is kind.
Love is patient.
Love is patient.
Therefore, I am patient.
Therefore, I am
say,
patient.
I love my wife.
I
am patient with my wife.
I am patient.
As Christ is patient with me. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, women, say after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I respect my husband.
I respect my
I am submissive to my husband.
I am submissive to
as the church is submissive to Christ.
As the church is submissive.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
I love him.
I love him.
I honor him.
I honor him.
I hold him in high esteem.
I hold him in high esteem.
And I conform myself to him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, those words I've used, if you read the book, if you read Amplified Bible, that's actually what he uses. It's very interesting in the Amplified. Let me just read it to those of us who are here. Quickly, First Peter. If you read it in the Amplified Bible, it's very, very powerful, the way Peter said it. That would be chapter 3, I think. All right. If you see, he said, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on and adapt yourselves to them. He says, you are to, verse 2 says, together with your, that you're talking about your reverence. He said, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to, revere, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. My God. If you can do this, your life will not be the same again. All right, let's just say together, women, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I reverence my husband.
I reverence my husband.
I respect him.
I respect him.
I defer to him.
I honor him.
I esteem him.
I
appreciate him.
I
prize him.
I
adore him.
I admire.
Praise. I am devoted to,
I
deeply love,
and
I enjoy my husband in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Now, while you do these things, I'm just trying to show us an example. This is how you control yourself. Are you getting my point? When you stay somewhere and Satan starts telling you, don't mind him. That's how he does, as if his head is not correct. What is his problem? Last time he did like this, them, we lost money, and then this and then we're late. We missed our flight. The story just counted for you everything that he has done that is wrong. I know the annoying part is correct in every single one. The question is, how will you respond? You just pick up the scripture, say, let me tell you how I want to respond. This is a piece of my mind. However, let me give you the peace of God's mind. And he takes this one, and when you do it 3 times, Satan will say that there are better people to break their families than this one that won't even listen to us. He will go somewhere else. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's it. In the same manner, when Satan comes to you and say, your wife, the car, hey, when you bought the last one, second day, what happened to the mirror? Which is really not a lie. She would just say, I told her that day, don't pass that Holy Ghost area. She said she was in a hurry. As she passed like this, what do you call it? In Benin, we call it tuke-tuke. What do you call boss in Enugu? Is it just boss? Eh? I can't pronounce that too. You know, Lagos and Benin, where I live, they have names for it. In Benin, it's tuke-tuke. In Lagos, downfall, you understand? That's how you downfall just collected the mirror. And I told her specifically not to pass there that day. This is how they do. When that one starts, this is how you respond. You can make up your mind and say, she will never drive in this house again. Satan says, yes, why should she drive? Until you get a driver, she's not going anywhere. Let her go and take a taxi. Yes, I agree with you. So I've seen all of these things. What do you do? It's simple. I love my wife as Christ loves the church. The commandment of God is love your wife. Love is patient. Love is kind. Do you understand? That is it. Love is patient. Love is kind. When you do it a few times, you say, does it mean I should let my wife be bashing my car recklessly? I don't know. When it reaches that point, God will let you know what to do. When you start declaring such words, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, let me possess this girl and teach her how to drive. Are you getting my point? There are different ways by which he manifests himself. I hope you've got my point today. I hope you've got my point. I hope you are blessed today. Quickly, let us share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We are passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.